They say I'd have to get
back to kiss and tell. Now this story of political idealism, political activism, and political deceit.
Hello, my name is Dan Savage, and I am the Republican Party in my neighborhood. I am the Republican Precinct Committee Officer, PCO, for Precinct 1846 in the 43rd District in Seattle, Washington. If you have any questions about the Republican Party, our platform, or any of our candidates, feel free to give me a call.
Now, I should point out here that Dan Savage is not just a Republican Precinct Committee Officer. He's also a gay sex columnist, a drag queen, and someone who agrees with none of the principles of the Republican Party.
Now, you're probably wondering how a commie pinko drag fag sex advice columnist found a home in the hate-mongering, gay-bashing, neo-fascist Republican Party. Well, let me tell you something, pal. The Republican Party is a big tent, a huge tent. There were no ideological litmus tests at the Republican Party caucuses or conventions that I attended. I didn't have to produce a voter registration card or a picture ID even at my very first caucus. A measure, I believe, of the respect the Republican Party has for the rights of the individual. I just walked through the door, signed on the dotted line, Dan Savage certifies that he, she considers himself, herself a Republican, and that was it. Who knew that going over to the dark side could be so simple?
Okay, here's the story. Back when Pat Buchanan was posting first and second place showings in Republican primaries this year, Dan Savage got it into his head that the only way to change a political party that he not only disagreed with, but also hated and feared, was to sign up and change it from the inside. So he showed up at his local Republican caucus, which in the 43rd is a small group of Republican holdovers in a big gay neighborhood. And at this point, his story took a surprising turn. Once he arrived, he found out that because he was the only person from the little precinct that he lives in, each caucus is divided up into, you know, a lot of little precincts, because of that, he was automatically made a precinct committee officer and then automatically won a seat at the county Republican convention. Well, he wrote up the experience that he had at the caucus in the most damning partisan tone humanly possible and published it in the paper. But, as he found out, his adventure had barely begun.
A couple of weeks after I'd traveled over to the dark side, Daniel Mead Smith, chairman of the 43rd Republican Party, wrote me a letter. I think you'll be surprised that the hate-mongering, gay-bashing, neo-fascist Republican Party does not exist in the 43rd, Smith wrote. I invite you to come to one of our meetings and see for yourself. So I went to one of Smith's meetings to see for myself, the 43rd District Republican Caucus. I arrived at the Montlake Community Center for the 1996 43rd District Republican Caucuses at 8 a.m. I paid my $5, signed in, grabbed a seat, and waited for the work to begin. We were there to elect delegates to the state Republican convention coming up Memorial Day weekend and vote on non-binding resolutions. The caucus began with a prayer. We asked God to guide us in selecting delegates, and then we were ready to pledge allegiance to the flag. Only trouble was, no one brought a flag. I thought about suggesting we pledge allegiance to the fag, hey, that's me, but I didn't want to be disruptive. Someone found some red, white, and blue bunting in the back room, tossed it over an easel, and we pledged allegiance to that. The easel was needed post-pledge, so the red, white, and blue bunting to which we had just pledged our allegiance was tossed on the floor. We had to elect delegates before we could get to the resolutions. I won't bore you with the Roberts Rules of Order stuff or the impossibly convoluted process by which the 80 of us in that cramped, steeple-roofed, fluorescent-lit room elected 17 delegates to the state Republican convention. Suffice to say, it was crushingly dull. To entertain us while we waited for the ballots to be counted four times, Republican Party activists and candidates gave little speeches. Some of these speeches were pure fantasy. One woman read a prepared speech about the United Nations working in concert with abortionists to take over the country. The other recurring fantasy had to do with us, 43rd District Republicans, retaking the 43rd for the Republican Party. One man reminisced about the time not too long ago when the 43rd was a solidly Republican district. We can make this district Republican again, just like it was when I joined the party 25 years ago. All we have to do is get out there and doorbell and identify the voters in this district who are sympathetic to our issues. Heart pounding, I stuck my hand in the air. Have any of you been out of the house or walked down Broadway in the last 25 years, I asked, standing and looking around at the toughest crowd I've probably ever played. The 43rd district, I pointed out, had gone all gay all of a sudden. So long as the Republican Party was identified with homophobes and anti-gay bigot activists, the Republican Party could kiss the 43rd District goodbye. When I sat down, a little old lady sitting behind me pointed out that she knew a very nice gay couple in the Republican Party. In other words, she, and by extension, the party, was not homophobic, and I was wrong. She said to me, "The party isn't against gay people, that's just a false impression you have." Gee, I wonder where I could have picked up that false impression. Maybe from Jesse Helms, Bob Dornan, Bob $1,000 Dole, anti-gay rights rallies in Iowa during the primaries attended by all the Republican presidential hopefuls, even moderate Lamar Alexander, Pat Robertson, Ralph Reed, Newt Gingrich, Linda Smith, Ellen Craswell, Spokane County Coroner Dexter Ammond, the Washington State Legislature, state legislatures all across the country, the Christian Coalition. During a break, an attractive middle-aged man approached me. He was a little angry. "I was offended by you forcing me to take responsibility for Jesse Helms." As if the Republican Party isn't responsible for Jesse Helms. One woman wanted to know why she should support gay people since gay people didn't support her when her home was burned down by arsonists. The arsonists weren't gay or anything, but where were gay people when she needed them? Another pointed out that some gays had broken the windows of the Republican Party headquarters, so who's oppressing who? Another man took me aside during a break to let me know that the gay bashing within the Republican Party wasn't for real. It was only to get out the vote and motivate the front lines. Well, then, I guess that makes it okay. I'm happy to be vilified and scapegoated and denied my civil rights so long as it motivates people to go to the polls. Disenfranchisement is a small price to pay to increase voter turnout.
To his surprise, at this meeting, Dan Savage talked the caucus into approving a resolution that affirmed the rights of gays and lesbians and rejected elements of the party who would exploit fear and hatred of homosexuals for short-term political gain. He could not wait, after this victory, to get to the county convention. As an official delegate, Dan Savage would be allowed to vote there, he'd be allowed to make amendments, he would really be allowed to play a role. He planned to vote in the straw polls they have at these things for the most conservative Republican candidates, in this case Pat Buchanan for president, and for the governor of Washington State he was going to vote for Ellen Craswell, who opposes gun control and gay rights and moral decay, and who he loathes. Dan Savage's thinking was that the more extreme the Republican ticket would end up being, the more likely they would lose in the general election, and the more likely that the party would eventually abandon this more conservative wing.
A few weeks later, the big day arrived, the King County Republican Convention, my first major party function. Hats, speeches, amendments. I bounded out of bed at 7 a.m., and ran to meet my new friend Steve at the QFC on Broadway. Steve attended his precinct caucuses way back in March with the intention of getting himself elected a delegate to the county and state Republican conventions. Like me, he joined the Republican Party out of a sincere desire to move the GOP to the center. Kindred spirits, we decided to attend the county convention together. The doors opened at 7:30 a.m. After the crowd settled down, a preacher read an alarming opening invocation which pretty much set the tone for what was to come. "Please forgive our leaders for endorsing perversion, and God deliver us from spineless compromise." Then we bellowed the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. I slipped up to the merchandise tables on the second floor where I bought myself a red, white, and blue Craswell for Governor hat. It must have been fate. On my way back down from the merchandise tables, I ran smack dab into Ellen Craswell herself. I said hello and, looking very serious in my little red, white, and blue hat, asked, "What are we going to do about the homosexual problem, Miss Craswell? What is the final solution to all this homosexual nonsense?" "So long as they stay inside, we can let them alone," Ellen Craswell confided in me. "But when they organize and demand special rights, we must oppose them. We can't give special rights to something that is an abomination in the eyes of God." Now, Ellen didn't seem interested in elaborating on just what it is we're supposed to stay inside of. The closet, our apartments, the priesthood. So I said goodbye, promising to vote for her in the primary. You see, the better Ellen does in the primary, the better the Democratic candidate for governor will do in the fall. I made it back to the convention floor just in time for the opening of debate on the party platform. The King County Republican platform is a document drawn up by committee that lays out what the King County Republican Party stands for. And here's the beautiful part. Delegates are allowed to propose amendments. Once an amendment is proposed, the amendment sponsor is allowed to speak, followed by a few people in favor, a few opposed. After that, the sponsor gets another minute or so to address the floor. I was a delegate. I had amendments, and so I would get to address the convention, over and over and over again. And as amendments are time-consuming, determined delegates can grind the convention to a halt. The first section we were to vote on was the preamble, in which we acknowledged God to be our creator and the family as the foundation of our culture. We embraced free markets, recognized that tax and regulatory burdens are a threat to our freedoms, yada, yada, yada. Before we could vote on the preamble, and it hadn't occurred to me to amend the preamble, a delegate proposed that a line be added stating that the party was open to all who accept its basic principles, regardless of race, religion, sex, or national origin. After debate, the first resolution of the day passed by a distressingly narrow margin. Race, creed, sex, national origin, something was missing. Steve approached the microphone and proposed that the just passed amendment also be amended to include the word sexual orientation. Well, Steve's amendment was soundly defeated by a voice vote that, though untabulated, sounded to me like 1,589-11. Then the Liberty section was up for a vote. I dashed to a microphone wearing my Ellen Craswell hat and proposed this amendment. As respect for the rights of the individual are the bedrock of Republican values, the King County Republican Party hereby recognizes the fundamental human rights of gay, lesbian, American citizens. We reject elements on the fringe of the Republican Party that would exploit fear and hatred of gay and lesbian American citizens for short-term political gain. Through the shouting, I pointed out that we King County Republicans can't have it both ways. We can't say in one breath that we oppose discrimination and with our next breath support discrimination against gay and lesbian American citizens. So let's vote on it. Do we, the Republicans of King County, recognize the fundamental rights of gay and lesbian American citizens, or do we not? Well, we do not. After some heated debate, the names I was called, pervert, sodomite, Democrat, my amendment was voted down. After my amendment failed, a woman in a Craswell hat approached me. "Why are you wearing that hat?" she briskly inquired. "Because I'm for Craswell. You know where she stands on gay things, don't you?" Having recently had a conversation with Ellen herself, I most certainly did. "But I'm not," I smilingly informed my new friend and fellow Craswell supporter, a single-issue voter. Try to imagine now that you're a homophobic Republican jerk-off, which might be a triple redundancy, at your county convention. You came for the speeches, an anti-Clinton t-shirt for your collection, and a hot dog. This is what you do for fun, woo-hoo. But these three guys keep introducing pro-gay rights amendments, moving to have anti-gay amendments struck, and generally messing with your afternoon. You didn't come to the convention to defend your party's homophobia, and you certainly didn't come expecting to listen to gay men giving speeches all day long. Who are these guys, and why is that one wearing a Craswell hat? Okay, you're this person, what do? You get mad. Very, very mad. One delegate decided to get even. In what can only be described as a David Lynch moment, a palsied delegate staggered up to the microphone and proposed a change in the rules. No further discussion of homosexuality allowed. His resolution needed a two-thirds majority to pass because it was a rules change, not a simple amendment. And pass it did, to hoots and hollers and cheers. But we had yet to vote on the education section, which contained a plank about homosexuality. When we got to education, all hell broke loose. Robert's Rules of Order fetishists leapt to their feet, insisting that the anti-gay plank in the education section would have to be struck. If we can't discuss homosexuality, we can't vote on it, for voting is a discussion. Uh-oh, we were talking about homosexuality again. People were booing, shouting, oh, the humanity. The chair, bringing the room to order, calmly ruled that the no further discussion resolution applied only to pro-gay discussions. We could discuss homosexuality, he said, but only if we weren't saying anything nice about it. And the convention limped to a close, most of the day having been wasted debating gay rights, gay marriage, what makes people gay, and my hat. What I learned. Here's what I learned about Republicans that weekend. They don't like homos very much. They certainly don't like having to talk about us, and they certainly like listening to us even less. But they do like beating up on us in their platforms. So, King County Republicans, I'll make you a deal. Leave us out of your platform in 98, the next convention cycle, and I'll stay away from your convention. But if we're in the platform, I intend to return.
Dan Savage writes the syndicated sex advice column Savage Love and is author of several books, most recently The Kid, What Happened After My Boyfriend and I Decided to Get Pregnant, an adoption story. Dan has continued his activism in the Republican Party. Most recently, he cast a vote in the Iowa straw poll for Steve Forbes. His account of that is online. You can link there from the This American Life website at www.thislife.org. Coming up, illegal aliens who agree that they should be deported, take matters into their own hands, and other unlikely stories. That's in a minute from Public Radio International when our program continues.